Hello, and welcome to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. At Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, we would like to offer you information to improve your health by considering various lifestyle options. Our articles come from different sources, which we will always identify. The information presented is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to replace the advice of your medical doctor or other healthcare professional with whom you consult. Here are some articles on whole food plant-based nutrition. And we're going to start it off from nutritionfacts.org. The Pros and Cons of Raw Food Diets by Christine Dennis, PhD, MPH, May 28, 2025. Is it better to eat our vegetables raw or cooked? If you're thinking raw, you're right. But if you guessed cooked, you're also right. A number of nutrients like vitamin C are partially destroyed by cooking. On the other hand, some nutrients like lycopene in tomatoes become more absorbable upon cooking. So I advocate eating a combination of cooked and raw foods. Check out this study on long-term raw foodists. The study was done in Europe, so the average Western diet here wasn't terrible, about 4 servings of fruits and vegetables a day versus a better so-called wholesome nutrition diet of 7 daily servings of fruit and veggies, both raw and cooked, versus a raw food diet in which they ate on average a whopping 17 servings of fruits and veggies a day. This led them to have about 3 times the beta-carotene intake compared to the average eaters. But that's intake. How much of it actually got into their bloodstreams? Blood beta-carotene is considered to be a surrogate marker for fruit and vegetable consumption. Some researchers even suggest, if you tell me what your blood beta carotene level is, I will tell you what your health risk is. So, who had the most beta carotene in their bodies? Those eating 4 servings a day, 7, or 17? It was the middle group, the 7 daily servings group, because cooking can boost the absorption of phytonutrients like beta-carotene. For example, you get more beta-carotene in your bloodstream eating cooked carrots than you do eating the same amount of raw carrots. The raw foodists were eating 17 servings a day and basically had the same amount of this phytonutrient reaching their internal organs as those on the standard diet getting a measly 4 measly servings a day. Raw diets can be better than junky vegan diets because they're free of processed foods like potato chips and sugary drinks. I couldn't find any good evidence raw diets are superior to whole food plant-based diets, though. A dietary survey of 141 so-called hallelujah vegetarians following a mostly raw, pure vegetarian diet found that their raw food diets were deficient in energy, protein, vitamins B12 and D, calcium, selenium, and zinc. A more recent survey of strict raw food eaters disturbingly found only half were supplementing with vitamin B12 and were suffering the consequences. Elevated levels of toxic metabolite homocysteine. Most eating the average Western diet are getting way too many calories, but strict raw foodists may not get enough. Being underweight, along with nutritional deficiencies, can cause women to lose their period and would contribute to osteoporosis. Those eating 100% raw can become too skinny, and as many as half may stop having their period. Does this actually have an effect on bone mass? Raw foodists had significantly lower bone mineral density throughout their entire skeleton, and specifically in their spine and hips. There are a number of seriously flawed myths that circulate within raw foods communities, like we need to consume live plant enzymes, which are deactivated by cooking. Well, they're deactivated in our stomach acid too. And since we're not plants, we have no need for plant enzymes. Our body makes all the enzymes we need to function from the protein that we eat. If, for whatever reason, you want to eat 100% raw, first you must take a B12 supplement so that you don't get other nutrient deficiencies. Study Davis and Molina's comprehensive guide on the subject. Also, a diet based on modern cultivated fruits is not nutritionally adequate. They're a pale shadow of the wild fruits eaten by our ape ancestors. Make sure you rinse the natural acids off of your teeth after eating sour fruits and beverages so that you don't erode your dental enamel. And also make sure you sufficiently chew your food so you don't block your digestive tract. In fact, we explicitly recommend against raw food diets for young children, as they don't have the stomach capacity to get adequate nutrition. Although an all raw food diet can be healthy, there is no reliable evidence to suggest that it's more healthful than a diet of whole plant foods, cooked or not. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you whole food, plant-based nutrition. And in a related article, we're turning to the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies with an article entitled, Time to Chew. The Digestive System Starts in Your Mouth, July 1st, 2025. I know, we've all been told that we need to chew more. We've heard it from our grandmothers, our gurus, and the internet. It's old news. So why am I writing about it now? Because in my teaching, I found that most people have never really chewed in a life-changing way. They've never broken through to an experience of energy, peace, and power that I've enjoyed now for over 20 years. And that's too bad. Our bodies are capable of much more than we are typically aware of, and I believe chewing is one way to begin unlocking some of that potential. Why haven't more people chewed in the way I'm about to describe? Many individuals carry at least one misconception about chewing, and these can hold them back. I'm here to challenge those assumptions. Assumption: chewing requires mindfulness. Nope, you don't have to meditate on each grain of rice to properly chew your rice. You don't have to be grateful or contemplative or pay special attention to your efforts. You can chew while watching TV, driving your car, or even paying your bills. I don't care. You don't need to be mindful to chew. That's not to say that you can't or shouldn't also practice cultivating gratitude, contemplation, and attentiveness. Chewing and mindfulness can definitely intersect. They can even intersect on the back end. When I thoroughly chew complex carbohydrates, I feel afterward as if I've sent peaceful pulses of glucose to my brain and created an effortless mindlessness. Mindfulness, I'm sorry. Don't believe me? Give it a try and see for yourself. Assumption: chewing is a waste of time. When was the last time you went to the gas station and sprayed several gallons of gasoline over your car? You would never do something so ridiculous. Making sure the nozzle is in the right place is the first step to refuel your car, and chewing your food is the first step to refuel your body. It is where digestion begins. By not chewing your food, you fail to cooperate with the body's naturally efficient systems, which have evolved to digest food in a certain way. Even if we could extract energy and nutrients from unchewed food, we help our systems operate more smoothly when we don't fight against nature. Anecdotally, I have also noticed that chewing thoroughly helps people reduce digestive discomfort and produce less odor. Think of it this way. When you chew properly, you help release the nutritional goodness contained in your whole food, plant-based lifestyle. Nothing could be less of a waste of time. Assumption: all my digestive organs are below my neck. Nope, not all of them. The mouth contains parotid glands, salivary glands, located at each side of the mouth that secrete a digestive enzyme specific to carbohydrates called amylase. It is also where your molars are, which are critical for crushing grains and other fibrous foods. The mechanical process of grinding and mashing, mixed with amylase, helps break down complex carbohydrates, which, if you have a whole food plant-based lifestyle, make up a large part of your diet. This action can only take place in your mouth. Although your pancreas also produces amylase, there aren't any teeth down there. Assumption: chewing is dumb. Okay, I realize you probably don't actually think that, but I needed an excuse to discuss how intelligent chewing is. I could cite several examples. Here are just a couple. One, chewing properly can support a healthier immune system by stimulating a specific type of immune cell, the Th17 cell. And two, chewing helps you feel full by influencing appetite, intake, and gut hormone release, effectively preventing you from overeating. One study found that eating slowly resulted in less caloric intake but higher satiety. Individuals trying to lose weight could potentially learn a lot from this finding. Of course, those suffering from diet-related diseases need to do more than simply adjusting their chewing. They also need to overhaul their diets. No one can chew their way to healthier outcomes if all they're eating is Doritos. But supposing they are already choosing a healthier diet, why not eat it properly and get the full benefits? Okay, how do I do it? Many people think of chewing as hacking away at a mouthful of food until they are reasonably sure they will not choke. For me, that is not chewing. I'm talking about mashing complex carbohydrates and mixing them with saliva for a while, up to 30 seconds or even a minute. For me, chewing involves my molars chomping down on my green bean, brown rice, or tofu dog 50 times. You read that correctly, 50 times. And on better days, even as much as 100. Yes, this transforms what appeared to be an attractive, delectable item into a sweet, liquidy mush in your mouth before you swallow it. Yes, it takes practice. Yes, it will seem strange and awkward at first. It might even seem antisocial if you're chewing so much that you have difficulty responding in a conversation during a meal. But I believe it's worth every single jaw-flexing chomp. Here are some tips. 1. Start alone. Feeling the pressure to engage in conversation can reduce your saliva. Plus, you might initially feel self-conscious about your new intensive chewing. Once you begin to feel the benefits of chewing alone, you'll be able to take your practice out into the world. 2. Chew the last third of your meal. It can be hard to chew when you're really hungry. Let yourself wolf down the first third of your meal, enjoy the second, and chew the heck out of the third. You will get all the benefits, minus feeling light as a feather in the tummy. When you want to feel that, chew everything. 3. Use a pickle. In my experience, adding a tiny bit of a dill pickle, an olive, or some sauerkraut to your first few bites of food can help stimulate saliva and make chewing easier. 4. Keep the back of your mouth closed. Think of how you might sip wine, paying careful attention to its tasting notes. When you do that, you naturally close the back of your mouth. You want to do the same thing when you chew so that all the food goes down in one big swallow after your 50 chomps are done. But you may not be good at this at first. The swallowing reflex is pretty unconscious. But with practice, you'll get better. 5. Lean forward if you have to. Tilting your head forward can help interrupt the swallowing reflex. Yes, it's weird, but hey, you're not eating meat and dairy these days. Your friends already think that you're weird. 6. Count on your hands. I count my chomps by counting to 10 and extending a finger on one hand. Then I count to 10 again and extend the next finger. This way, I never have to count beyond 10, and I can swallow when all the fingers on one hand are extended. 7. Treat sweets and fruits differently. Most fruits are hard to chew 50 times, so don't worry about them so much. They are high in simple sugars and water, and they break down in the mouth much more easily anyway. Stick to practicing your chewing with grains, vegetables, and beans. Once you've got the hang of it, try chewing every mouthful you eat at every meal for 7 days. I call this the 7-day chew challenge. It might seem like a lot, but this experiment can show you whether you want to chew this way for the rest of your life. And you might find that you have more energy, feel as light as a feather, access a calm mental focus, and poop like an Olympian. You might feel only some of those benefits, but there's no harm in trying. And at a minimum, you'll have a better idea of what you and whole foods are capable of. This article was written by Jessica Porter. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you whole food plant-based nutrition. Next, we'll turn to Forks Over Knives with an article entitled Omega-3s Explained, What Plant-Based Eaters Should Know by Dana Hedipole, July 3rd, 2025. Need clarity on where omega-3s fit into your whole food plant-based diet? We dug into the research and spoke with James Loomis, MD, Medical Director of Barnard Medical Center, to get the lowdown on where to find them and how to make sure you're getting enough. Spoiler alert, you don't have to eat fish to reap the benefits of these healthy polyunsaturated fats. What are omega-3s? Omega-3s are essential fatty acids, meaning our bodies need them but can't make them on their own, so we must get them through our diet. They come in three main forms: alpha-linolenic acid, or ALA, eicosapentaenoic acid, or EPA, and docosahexaenoic acid, DHA. The body uses EPA and DHA directly, but it must convert ALA into EPA or DHA to be able to put it to work. EPA and DHA support many essential functions in the body from head to toe: brain, cardiovascular, immune, skin, and metabolic, and contribute to maintaining long-term health. They work through a variety of mechanisms, one of which is moderating inflammation. If the body can't make omega-3s, where do they come from? Omega-3s originate in plants. ALA is found in land plants. DHA and EPA are found in sea plants, specifically in the microalgae found in phytoplankton. So why does everyone talk about eating salmon to get enough omega-3s? When fish eat microalgae or eat smaller fish that feed on microalgae, they accumulate DHA and EPA in their fat stores, which is why fatty fish such as salmon, sardines, anchovies, mackerel, tuna, halibut, and herring are often seen as go-to sources of omega-3s. But fish are far from an ideal source, says Loomis. The problem is that when we eat fish, we get omega-3s, but what else do we get? There are things that you don't want, like mercury, microplastics, and a little bit of saturated fat. Plants by far give you the biggest return on your investment that you can get when you're thinking of your health. Sourcing your omega-3s directly from plants is also better for the environment, Loomis notes. There's a huge sustainability issue with fish. What whole foods are best sources of omega-3s? Excellent plant sources of ALA include walnuts, ground flax seeds, chia seeds, and hemp seeds. I put ground flax seed or chia seed on oatmeal, chia seed in my recovery shake, and hemp seeds in my salads, says Loomis. Other whole plant foods contain smaller amounts of ALA, which contribute to your overall intake of omega-3s, along with vitamins, minerals, fiber, antioxidants, phytochemicals. For example, leafy greens contain omega-3 fats, but because they're so low in fat overall, you'd need to eat 20 to 30 cups to get a meaningful amount. How can plant-based eaters optimize omega-3s? In general, the conversion process from ALA to EPA and DHA is inefficient. The body converts ALA to EPA at a rate of 5 to 15%, and less than 1% reliably converts to DHA, according to the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. That's why, beyond just consuming ALA, rich plant foods, it's important to help your body make the most of ALA. Eating a varied, low-fat, whole food, plant-based diet, rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, legumes, nuts, and seeds, can enhance the liver's ability to convert ALA to EPA and DHA, a process that becomes less efficient when key nutrients are lacking or when the diet is high in alcohol or competing fats. When the diet is high in omega-6 fats from sources like vegetable oils, fried foods, and ultra-processed snacks, less ALA gets converted because the enzyme needed for the process is already busy handling the excess omega-6s. You've been listening to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Barbara Felix, your Sun Sounds programmer, thanking you so much for listening today, and I wish you a happy and healthy rest of your day.